What's going on, guys? This is Four Quarters. This is Eric Bradley. I'm here with my guy Sam Ball, Sanjay Rajput, and Shad Greer. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
What's up, fellas?
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. No happy Monday, man.
No happy Monday.
No.
Work kicked my ass today.
Sorry.
And that's what Monday is for. You know, you get your ass kicked, then you get back and, you know, grind through until Wednesday.
You sound so happy about that, Sanjay. I'm not.
Sorry to hear that, my boy. Man, we had a very action-packed weekend. We even recorded an episode this weekend, so that's back-to-back episodes.
Woo!
Yeah, trying to get our groove back, right?
Trying to get our groove back, man. It's been a bit crazy weekend, though, man. Was it Saturday?
Saturday night? 13th.
There was an assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump, former president, current felon.
Current candidate.
We haven't had a assassination attempt in over 40 years.
Was it Reagan?
Reagan, I believe Reagan. Yeah.
It was Reagan the last assassination attempt.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, Reagan That's won after crazy. That, right?
Hey, look. Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah. You know what? It's kind of crazy. So I've been watching the MLK, shameless plug here. I've been watching the MLK/X docuseries on National Geographic. Yeah. And, you know, part of me was thinking about, like, how the 60s was just a crazy time in the United States where everybody was getting killed. Yeah, John F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King.
Megan Everett.
Yeah, man. And I was just like, yo, bro. I was like, I couldn't imagine being alive in that time, just hearing about people, man, in like positions of leadership or figureheads getting assassinated.
Right. But this is happening throughout history. Like, before that, there was a couple other presidents, you know.
Y'all might think I'm wrong.
FDR, Roosevelt, the other one.
The U.S. government didn't give a shit back then.
Second Amendment all the way.
I don't think it was that. I think our technology also wasn't up to par like it is now. You know what I'm saying?
Nah. Them niggas was just taking niggas out. That's all it was. They was taking niggas out left and right.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with DC. I mean, like, things, like, didn't expect that to happen, or, you know, you learn through mistakes in a way. Like, same thing with all the way from Lincoln, you know? I think that's when Secret Service came afterwards for presidential protection. I think back in the day, you could walk into the White House, like, you know, back in the day, like, after the founding of the country and stuff.
And like, wouldn't it be,
people could literally walk into the White House.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah,
I've been to the White House like multiple times when I was a kid. So,
like inside,
like on the lawn.
What did it look like? Was it like it is in photos?
Well, on the lawn we used to do like the trick or treating, Christmas lights, and then
that Easter shit they do every year. Yeah,
when I was a kid, yeah. So,
that sounds cool as fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome for like kids that grow up in that area. How do y'all feel about, you know, since we're discussing, you know,
man,
how do y'all feel about this being the?
I want to start a conspiracy theory. That's what I feel like it is. Off the deep end at the beginning, bro. I think it's a conspiracy theory. I think it's just getting the votes up, dude. Like, nothing's more able to... Nothing's able to galvanize your voting base than you trying to be shot. Now he really gets to say he a nigga. He being shot. He got a felony charge. Like...
His base has always been galvanized, though. That's the thing. His base has always been with him.
I've heard that whole, you know, he can really say he's a nigga over the past few days a lot. yeah. in so many different spaces, from like black comedians and like that's not. I don't know. I still can't respect it. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I get what you're saying. Yeah, he's a felon, and yeah, he's got shot at. Man, that don't mean you're still fit to lead a country. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
But right, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, Shad. I see. So what's your conspiracy? You think that they planned this out?
Yeah, I think it was more so, like, just on a serious, you know, I really do feel like it was probably planned out just to kind of get him some media attention. Like, I just don't see it being the Secret Service.
But you think they would let somebody die, though? I mean, a lot of people die through the government. So.
Yeah, it is what it is. The government do it all the time. But here's what I'm going to say about that. Like, the Secret Service did not rush him off that stage. That man was fighting to get up. To like, I've never seen that. Every time I've seen, like, something being like a gun or something, like, they take them off stage. They're ducked down. They're Secret Service on top of them. They cannot come out that little, like, space bubble, bro. Yeah, because, like, if you think about it, he's doing all that. He can still get shot again. So, like, to take that risk and, like, to allow him to do that doesn't sit well in my mind. Just as, like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I know what you're trying to say because they're supposed to keep him down. And although, like, from what I saw in the news, like, they said, you know, the shooter was down, but you don't know if there's more shooters, you know?
Yeah, you don't, so I don't know if it was, like, shooters.
They're That's trying to exactly blame it on the right. Secret Service, saying that, like, those are unprofessional. Like, maybe they're
them
the
guys
lab
are not unprofessionals.
Yeah, like, they, guys, those are the top people, right? From the
Yeah, they are trained.
Side note, did you see, like, there was, like, a lot of, like, you know, the initial people that came and protected them were men, right? But then there was another group of third agents that were women. And then, like, dude, I saw so many things, at least on Twitter, like, you know, I don't know if they were, like, bots or whatever, but, like, just dogging the Secret Service saying, like, DEI, like, you know, this is the reason he got shot because of the woman agents and stuff like that. Like, they were dogging the ladies.
Oh, that's crazy. That's kind of fucked up for them to do. But, that's horrible that they would put that on it. But, like, even though the kid that they, I guess they shot him or something. A 20-year-old kid. I know Sanji put his, like, he's a Republican. And
so based on his registration.
Stuff, based on his registration.
Donated money to, like, a liberal organization. So they don't know truly.
It's just one of those weird things.
What does it have to do with his political? Like, we're talking about, at the end of the day. I think
people be reaching for shit just to see, like, if there's some connection to it, right? Like, there's always some kind of, like, a way you can spin that.
But that's the whole debate. It's like, you know, rhetoric. Like, they were talking about, like, you know, the way Democrats were talking, like, you know, that's what caused the shooting or whatever, you know. But, you know, both sides have been, like, I'll say this, like, definitely the MAGA, they say more extreme, more violent stuff than any other side. And now they want to pin it on Democrats. They a lot of people said, you know, it was like a Democrat. It was like based on what Biden said, blah, blah, blah. To me, like, honestly, I never expected like this to happen. Like, I know there was like a lot of anger and hate and stuff, but like, I never expected Trump to get shot. I thought it would be more on the Democratic side, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of want to know what the motive is. Like, what is true motive?
Well, hell, you don't really know what it is. Like, he didn't leave no, he didn't do nothing. They killed him, which, I mean, like, it is what it is. But, I don't wish this on nobody to have to go through assassination attempt. Trust me, that's not something nobody ever wants to live through or go through or whatever. I don't think it's a source of pride or anything. But, geez, man. Like, it's just strange. And especially, I'm with Sanji. Like, I thought it would be somewhere on the right shooting at the left and not the other way around. Or, like, the right getting shot at right now.
I got a maybe a little bit slightly different, but like, what would happen if it was the other way around? Do you think GOP would be saying it the same way? Do you think they will feel kind of trying to, you know, saying, oh my God, this is bad, or do you think they would take it as a victory?
I don't know. I think they'd probably take it as a victory. Like,
in a way, politics is a game of war. Like, they're kind of true to me. They, you know, anything to win, you know. I don't think they would want to kill him, but if it happened, you know, it's just part of the game.
Yeah,
I think that's how they would.
I mean,
the most extreme.
Yeah, but
how would they spin that though?
Let's give Sam a chance. Let's hear it.
But I was going to say, Sanjay, for that same reason, you could say the same thing for the Democrats, too, because if Trump would have been successfully assassinated, would the Democrats not be like, thank God? Like, they'd be
a lot of the same thing, right?
I think it would be the same thing said behind doors, but publicly,
but it wouldn't be loud.
They're going to be like, oh, publicly, it'll be like, my condolences. This is a tragedy. We shouldn't have done this. But as soon as they got off, you know how you'd be like, oh, shit, man, that was a good, wow. Woo, we dodged a bullet on that one. Like, I think that would be like the behind the scenes thing. But like on a national front, it would be more so like, hey, that should never happen. Blah, 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 blah. These are my condolences to his family and da, 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 da. Like, I don't think they would be out like Republicans would be out like that. Like, I really don't. I feel like the Democrats will have more class. And I think Republicans have a lot of class too. It's just like there's just a group of them that will champion this shit.
Yeah, it would be a fraction, not all of them. I agree
with that. Yeah, no, I'm not saying all Republicans. Like, it would definitely be a small fraction.
And speaking of that, like, I think, like, I'm glad he didn't die. Like, I wouldn't want that to happen to anyone, even though, you know, you don't agree with them, you despise them. Because I think it would have changed everything. It would have made the MAGA movement even stronger. Like, I think to a whole, like, he would definitely be like a
martyr.
A martyr, like a, and that would change everything, I think, long run on politics. I think, you know, the best outcome for the Democrat is to beat him in the ballot box. Like, you shut them up that way. And that's how you beat them, because otherwise the disease or this MAGA cult would grow even more and more.
To your defense of what you're saying, yeah, the best way to beat them is at the ballot. But I mean, we've already seen, like, when we beat them at the ballot, it goes, oh, it was stolen.
Yeah, it does.
But it doesn't matter. That's like a sore loser, though. That's like,
well, but you know what? Like, it's like that, but like, that's the way I feel like if they lose this election, dude, there's going to be another like January 6th shit in it. And it ain't going to be pretty.
I kind of agree there's going to be even more violence, but you know what? That's like a sore loser, like if they lost because, you know, of a bad call in a game or whatever. But I think overall, most of the, maybe the non-politic population, they would agree with like, hey, they won fair and square, you know, like they would probably, like, you know, majority of America would back up saying, hey, they won fair and square, you know, don't be a loser. Like, that's never has happened. Like, you know, like back in the day, if you think about it, like, back in the day, violence was a way to gain power. You know, kings, monarchy, Game of Thrones, you know, you kill and you get the power. I mean, then you run the shit. But, oh, you know, that's what separates the modern day government and society. You know, it's not on the lords. I mean, it's based on voting. Like, a lot of the first time he won is because a lot of the people didn't show up to vote. That's kind of the tactic, I think, what they're trying to do. You know, they're already saying, oh, Trump already won the election already. No, he didn't. He didn't do shit yet, you know. What matters is what happens on November 4th.
Also, so to go with Chad, and let's say I do want to go down this, I have two perspectives. Let's say we want to go down the aisle with Chad and say, oh, it was, you know, it's fake. You know what I'm saying? I did see a couple of videos that had me questioning things.
Facts.
There was a video that I saw that where, you know, they see the kid. They see the kid up on top of the roof. Bystanders are telling the cops, "Hey, there's a kid up on this roof. I think he has a gun." Nothing is done. He has snipers to the side of him. They're looking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and a lot of people reported it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Could this have been prevented?
What was that white? It was the white guy. Who's a redhead guy. And he on the MAGA hat, like, and he was talking about, he's like, dude, I saw him crawling on the thing, and I was pointing out, and the Secret Service is just like, oh, da, 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 da. Like,
you know what?
I made me want to go find that video.
Dude, he was telling the newscaster, I think he was on CNN or Fox or something like that. He's like, I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah, we told him 30 minutes ago, you know, like, they said, and then Sam sent the video saying, like, you know, somebody stopped the shooter, right? Or somebody with a gun? Was it somebody else, or?
I think it was I think it was it was like one of the snipers shot him after he had shot.
Yeah, he looked at me kind of like, but so you know what, like about 6
shots.
So there's a report out that says that when people had spotted the young man on the roof, right, there was a Virginia police officer that got on the roof or approached the roof and saw the young man with the gun. And the young kid or the young man pointed the gun at the police officer and he went back down. And that allowed the window for that young man to have an opportunity to take a shot at former President Donald Trump.
Okay, hold on.
Can I insert something?
Pause. That don't even sound right. Was it an off-duty police officer?
No. I don't know. I was going to say, I'm not sure. From what the report said, he was not off-duty.
You know,
has a gun. He retreated. So he goes back down. That's not his job to retreat. Yes.
But you know what?
Does that even remotely sounds correct?
No, not any police officers, you know, but that it kind of goes back to like, I guess we can just go off this, like, I guess, put the premise, like, first of all, like, I guess the Secret Service had security over like the rally itself. And supposedly, I think that building was supposed to be, you know, overlooked by the local law enforcement. So I don't know if they did their job, you know, because supposedly he was climbing over a couple of roofs, according to some of the people around the area. And they tried to alert people, I guess the law enforcement and whoever they, you know, saw. So, but it is weird because you think about all the other school shootings, you know, I don't know if it's just the training or the type of people, but, you know, the shooting in Texas and other areas, like police officers knew there was a shooter and they kind of, you know, didn't go in. They just waited for the SWAT team. So I don't know if it's a plan or you think they're just cowards or... Like,
I totally understand what you're saying, Sanjay. Go ahead. Shit.
No, you good. You good, brother. Go ahead.
This was my other perspective. Was the shooting preventable? Maybe, but it happened.
Yes.
But hold on. But it happened, and once it happened, and Trump realized that he isn't, you know, hurt. He isn't harmed. He has a nick on his ear. He has a little bit of blood on him. He knows, hey, he's media trained now. We all know Trump has been in the media for countless years.
Yeah.
Oh, let's get this. Let's get this picture.
That was so genius to do that, to throw that fist up, to show your pride. Like, mm-hmm. That was a genius moment. As far as, like, marketing.
Yeah, it really was, bro.
So definitely, fucking like a rebound.
It's fucking genius. I think that picture will live forever. I promise you.
No, it really will.
It will live forever.
I genuinely think, like I said, I think it was the perfect time. I don't know if anyone has... I mean, he's been media trained, and they say, damn... This is the perfect photo op. There is no in the photo op.
But who
the photographer ran? Did you see it? Like the guy ran right away. The photographer. Nobody was worried about their life running away or anything. Even the crowd. I don't know if it's just like the MAGA people. They're just hardcore like that. Or but like usually when they're shooting, people run. No, you know? Sunscreens and stuff.
Dude, I think that was shocked though. They're white people got there. I'm probably sure they probably shot. They're like, oh shit, somebody's shooting. Where? Oh.
But you know the guy behind him died. Like the guy got shot in the head. Like it was whatever bullet was supposed to hit Trump. You know, it hit somebody in the back, and I think the guy just fell between the bleachers. But the a lot of them just kind of stood.
Yeah, like, but Sanjay. Yeah, you're right, Sanjay. But think about Sanjay. That kind of stuff doesn't happen that often. Where you're at a like, God, I think nobody's tried to assassinate a president or a presidential candidate in over 40 years. So when you go to a rally, you know they're going to have top-notch security already there. So it's a bit of a shockwave, like Shad was saying, when you see somebody mention a bullet flying, and you're kind of like, you're not moving suddenly, because you're like, what?
Bro, like, it's not like us and we're going somewhere where we know like somebody could be shooting, and like as soon as you hear a gunshot, you know you gotta go, right?
Yeah,
you gotta go. You had like a mall, yeah, like a mall rally, dog. Like, I'm pretty sure them folks were like in shock. But my thing is, like, the for the photographer to be taking photos at that moment is crazy to me. Cause Nikki, it couldn't be me. I'm ducking, diving, and running. You feel me?
That's the. And you know what?
Like,
going back, bro. But you know, you're talking about being a presidential rally and being the safest. Like, the snipers were facing towards the, you know, that one vantage point that could get to them. But how come they didn't have no law enforcement in those buildings or around that area or on that rooftop?
Dude, I'm like, pretty sure they did. Like, there's no way. DC knows it. He lives in DC, bro. You can't even get to some of these buildings anymore.
That wasn't even in DC. That was in Pennsylvania. I was in a rally.
I'm just talking about around the president, though. Like, even when the president moved, like, that shit is so, like, guarded.
Yeah, and that was the other part for me. Like, a rally is planned out. It's not a spur of the moment thing. Like, I'm still shocked about this whole situation. But I just feel like, you know, I'm glad he didn't get killed. You know what I'm saying? Because no one wants to deal with that right now. Because then you would have a lot more division in the country.
Dude's like Thanos, man. That's how I see him. Like, he went through a lot of shit, like, and is still surviving. It's like that ultimate boss, like I was saying earlier. Like, this dude, you're gonna have to do a lot of stuff to beat him. Like, and you know what? Like, this whole thing set up, like, I don't know if y'all saw the court case. They just, you know, the judge, Cannon, that's nominated by Trump, you know, that has some kind of conflict of interest, ruled that, you know, the classified document, which is like the strongest case against him, because he did that shit after being a president, so there's no immunity, got tossed out based on technicality.
No, it is immunity. He does get immunity. Cause
he wasn't the president when he moved the classified documents. He said it even himself.
I thought the immunity happens for, like, before and after.
No, I think it's an official presidential act, so when you are the president. And they had to be official act, which I fucking hate also, because people think everything is official. I think, you know, just because they say official act doesn't mean everything is official. You got to fight for what's official and what's not. Just because they say it doesn't mean it's right.
Well, we've all had input. Sam, what was your input on this? How did you feel about this?
Man, I didn't really have a feeling necessarily towards what's the actual action. I think my state went back to just thinking about just the kind of state of, like, our country right now and where we feel like where we are in politics. You know, I gave you all that kind of synopsis about, like, being back in the 60s, and it kind of feels like that, right? Just kind of the heightened sensitivity around our politics and decisions being made and about who's running and some of the decisions that they may or may not make. Man, I just feel like, you know, man...
But do you know why, though?
Well, Sanjay, yeah, I mean, it's this, man, come on now. It's this, like,
No. In the 1960s, ahead. What was going on? Do you know what was going on, right?
Oh, right. We had civil rights going on. So, civil rights was going on. That was a big topic. And
some people didn't want it to happen, right?
Right. That's right.
And what's going on right now is some people want to go back to what was before civil rights. And they're fighting, you know, like it's their time, like it's the 1960s, in my opinion.
Right, Sanjay. But I think so. One thing I'm kind of harping on is kind of the candidates as well. Now, I feel like, you know, we've been talking about Donald Trump for several years now, right? Pat, you know, post-presidency and during presidency and some of the rhetoric that we hear from him in his speeches and how that's kind of been able to, like, rile up some people who actually back him, who may be more on the extreme side. I ain't gonna say may, who are more on the extreme side, and how they feel more empowered now more than ever. And then you also got to think too. One thing I've been thinking about too is, like, what does that do for the people on the opposite end of the spectrum? Like, do they feel more empowered as well anytime they see Donald Trump on TV and they see him, like, speaking to his doing his rallies and speaking his rhetoric? Like, do they feel more power? Which is, you know, even though this kid that did the assassination attempt was a registered Republican based on the information that we got from you, Sanjay, you know, it's like, what, you know, you think about like conspiracy theorists, like, what if that young kid was like intentionally did that to kind of throw some stuff off?
Like, it could be.
Just because you register as a Republican don't mean you have to technically vote as one. So, you know,
that's true. That's true. Like, in some primaries, you got to register to vote for that party. And some people, you know, do that. Like, they'll vote, register as the opposite party, Democrats and Republicans, so they can get the weaker candidate, you know, in the ticket during the primaries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't know the motive. Like, I want to know more information on that. And, but, you know, like you're saying, you know, I think what it does is, like, you know, Trump says this, and you know, and it kind of irks a nerve on the left. You know, like, a lot of things makes me mad. So, you know, it makes the other side more angry. Like, they have to push back and, you know, match that same energy. It's like, you know, like when you're any sports, like competition, in a way. You know, if you're gonna go do that, you know, then I'm gonna come back and do the same thing. You know, no, we're not gonna let you get away with it.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, like, you know, if, you know, what does that mean for Joe Biden? You know, just because what's going to be the retaliation if there is one on Joe Biden? Like, is there one out for that? Or if Donald Trump is elected, then what does that mean for him from a security standpoint? Someone tried, like, somebody already tried it once. Will somebody try it again? Like, you got to think, like, I'm thinking about, like, the domino effect of this event, because, like, we haven't had something like this happen in over 40 years. And so the fact that someone finally pushed the first domino and tried it and was nearly successful. So you wonder, does this open the door for some other extremists to try to do something to either candidate over time?
I think it will if we keep going the same route.
I think it does embolden some, and I think it will make a lot of people more cautious though, like going forward. Two at the same time. I don't, and like, far as like emboldening people on the left or right, I really don't know, man. Like, this shouldn't incite nobody to do anything to me personally. Like, this is America. This is the one place I feel like we should be able to have differences, talk them out, and be able to agree to disagree, but make policies that are feasible for the people. You know what I'm saying?
But no, so think about that, you know, so going back to this, you know, I mean, the 2020, you know, they didn't like the election, right? They lost. What did they do? A lot of them denied it. Yeah, January 6th. You know, why does he have a new VP? Why isn't he running with the same VP again?
Oh, because him and Vince don't get along.
Yeah, you know why? Because the mob tried to kill him, you know? You see, that's what I'm saying. In a way, like, if you think about
politics, he wanted the mob to kill him.
Yeah, kill, exactly. Because it's all about politics. What matters is if you win or not. You know, that's what the only thing that really matters. So people will do what it takes to win. And I think, and I don't know about the conspiracy theory, but like, I think about it, like, you know what? They'll do whatever it takes to win. So it could be a setup, maybe. Maybe the guy was really a GOP and he thought, you know, like you're saying, that, you know, what if I. You know, he might have had a clear shot to president, but like, hey, let me just kill somebody in the crowd and make him a martyr, make him a hero. We'll never know, but it could be.
It could be. So let's go. I'm gonna switch some of this stuff around a little bit. So a few weeks ago, we had the debate that led to this. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just move it over to, you know, to Biden. Biden didn't do that great. I don't think either one of them did great as I watched that debate.
It confirmed everything about Biden. It was like the worst thing, you know, like everything wrong that could happened. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was calling you old, weak man, and you kind of showed it.
I can agree with that. Where do we go from there? You know what I'm saying? Where do you guys think we should go from there? Should Biden stay on the ballot? Who would be a suitable?
I think we kind of need to know, as American people, you know, a lot of people have, like, I've been trying to get people to, like, hey, vote for Biden, vote for Biden, like, that one consistent theme that's been I've been hearing from people that aren't like, you know, too into the political thing, you know. It's like his age. You think that, you know, it's kind of old though, you know. Like that's been a thing that I've been hearing since like 21. Like even when he was running, you know, the first time.
The hell, Trump is old.
I know, but like,
yeah, that's,
you know,
a crazy thing. Like everybody keeps saying that. Yeah,
they're
like
literally 2 years apart.
Because it's two like, different styles. You got to think about it.
Like, it's, you know, not. Trump. It's not two different styles. Just like looking at the.
But I'm talking about the politics. That's what I'm saying. Like GOP doesn't matter whatever it is. Whoever their candidate is, like if it gets their goals done, they will ride and die with them. You know, they'll do whatever it takes. That's what I'm saying.
You
got to look at the candidate as a like as a party, the people, the constituent. You know.
I'm just worried about policies at this point, like, to be honest with you. I'm not really concerned about, like, stuff like that. But if I just had to, like, put an opinion out there of, like, how Biden looked, how Trump looked, and did it look a little scary for Biden because he looked like he was slow, he looked old, he looked like your 95-year-old granddaddy trying to walk out and do something and not in his best shape, best days. And where Trump, 2 years different, looked strong, looked very, very poised. But, like, what sets them apart in there was when, not even fact-checking, when you listen to the debate, you hear the things that Trump said, and then you go and listen to what Biden was trying to say. There is clearly a difference, and clearly a difference of plan. It's just like Trump is winging everything, and it could not stay on topic, could not give a clear answer. Where Biden was trying, although sometimes he would space out,
ramble. But that's what I'm saying.
Deliberate in what he was saying. He was deliberate in what actions he wanted to take. There were key notes that you could take them like, oh, okay. But did he look weak? Most definitely. Even when he walked out on stage, I was like, ooh, he look old.
The look thing is one thing. Main thing in politics is like what you say, what you do, your policy. And like he didn't hit back, you know. When you're in a debate, you know, you gotta push back, you gotta fight, you know. Well, he let Trump say what he
It's two senior citizens fighting. What do you want them to do?
But I'm saying the whole point of the debate was for him to push back, and I think he should have done that more. Like, and the debate was at, you know, later on at night. Supposedly,
think he had the mental capacity to do it because Trump was talking. I can't remember the question that was asked. This man says, "I got a better golf score. Like this makes me healthy because I got a better fucking golf score." How is Biden supposed to fight that? My nigga was just like, "Well, I got."
The format was terrible. Because the format was really terrible. Because they said, you know, usually moderators are supposed to fact check. They're supposed to stop them and they interrupt. They're usually crowd, so you get feedback and energy. Like,
I really, yeah.
You notice Biden.
I didn't like it either
because I felt like they had a conservative and a liberal, you know, moderator both. They wanted to have one of each. And that's like, oh my God, you do separate, you know. Sam, what you got to say? Been a lot quiet.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. It was just awful, man. It was just tough watching this debate because it was just literally two old men yelling at each other. And I'm sitting here trying to think, you know, I was putting it in my right mind. I was trying to give myself a perspective of thinking about the United States as a business. And I was sitting here asking myself, I was like, if I had a business that needed to be run properly, and I'm looking at the resumes of Joe Biden and Donald J. Trump, and I'm just looking at the numbers on their face for what it is, Joe Biden, 81 years old, right? And you know, there's some questionable, his health is his age is questionable, and his kind of his capacity to actually really do the job. And then you got Donald Trump, where he's 78 years old, and it's like you're worried about here's an older man who has a tendency to rant and kind of go off the rails, and Joe Biden has the capacity, the ability just to be he goes off the rails too, but not in the same way. He just kind of,
but he's not a habitual liar.
Yeah, he just does it in a different way, where he seems like just an old grandpa telling a story, and he forgot what the main
what the hell he was talking about.
He's really talking about. And so it's like, when you really look at these two candidates, I'm sitting here asking myself, I'm like, this isn't great. Like, why has America proven that we've just, over the last three presidential, like, between 20, what year was Obama out? 2016? So between 2016, 2020, and 2024, like, there just has been an ineptitude to actually properly select really good candidates to be president of the United States.
Bro,
I was really upset that looking at, like, I'll tell you, if you were somebody who was like a swing voter, like, Joe Biden didn't look good in that debate.
Nope.
Yeah.
Because there was a time in that debate where he was trying to like poke Donald Trump to like try to get him to say certain stuff and to try to go off, you know, try to go let him get angry and go off on a rant. And he didn't have to do that. And
yeah, dude, Donald was going to do that regardless.
Well, he didn't do it like people thought he would. I'm going to be honest. Like, watching that debate.
Well, that is true. I give you that.
But you know why, though?
Not like in the past.
Biden didn't prod him as much. Like, that's the thing. Like, I was disappointed with his tactic. Like, he did not go hard.
I'm not. I wanted him to stay on. What I wanted to see from Biden is that he could stay on topic, that he could deliver a message.
But the delivery was terrible in a way.
He stumbled, but like my thing, the messaging was there. The messaging was not there for Trump. The policy
was not there. As an independent, I don't know if you're independent or not, but are you looking based on their style, what they talk and look like, or are you based it on their policies and what they get done? If you're an independent voter,
policies.
Going off policy.
Then if you like policy wise, Joe Biden has done a lot. Like, actually, like passing legislation in this kind of like Congress, I think he probably has passed most policies in the past 15 to 20 years. Like, he got shit done, you know. Like, he brought up back, you know, a lot of the manufacturing from COVID. Inflation is down. He brought the health of the tech sector, a lot of manufacturing, EVs. So policy-wise, like, you know, NATO membership went from what? Like 9 to, like, expanded everywhere to, like, pretty much majority of Europe. You know, Ukraine is still going. It was supposed to be taken over in, like, a month or two, but it didn't happen.
Let's not start on that one.
I know we want to try to keep it just between these two candidates. I was gonna say, I got my own little take about, you know, policies, because, you know, me being an African American man in this country, you know, I hate anytime we give whatever it is, we write a blank check to you. Well, I'm gonna say a blank check, but we give Ukraine like all this money, but then again, we can't provide money for proper programming and education in our own country and in like underserved communities. And so, you know, for me, like, I'm gonna be honest, like, Sanjay, I don't know how it is for you as a Indian, but for me, like, as a African American in this country, like, I look at policy making completely different, and I'm a bit more selfish in regards to thinking about, well, what are you gonna do for the Black community?
But are you only thinking about the Black community, not just not only, you don't think as people?
Hold on, Sanjay. I'm going to tell you this. Every policy that has been made for Black people has helped everybody. And you can't say it had. From affirmative action to civil rights, everything that we have done and fought for as an African-American community to better ourselves has always end up helping the collective.
Yes, and most of those policies are still intact or are trying to get expanded.
Right, but here's my thing. So us being selfish as Black people, we should be, because all the policies that we want and need and there are trying to get be selfish for always helps the community. Whenever the Asians do something, they don't help. It doesn't end up helping anybody but Asians. The same thing for any other community.
Like what?
Asian, like they passed, what was the Asian discrimination bill that they had back here, the hate bill. Like, we can't even get lynching that's been around for years as a federal hate crime, but they get five things in the news and they already have a crime bill for an Asian hate bill. What I'm saying, like, when African Americans do things for the country, it's always for the betterment of it. It's never just as selfish as it seems.
Because but like those Asian bills, like, they didn't happen instantly. I think there's been Asian hate crime for going on. I think it got worse, and then it finally, maybe they passed a bill. And I'm pretty sure there's lynching, there's definitely, like, you know, there's been a major legislation that has
the bill has been on the thing for like 40 something years and it still hadn't passed. It don't even make it outside like the committees. Come on.
But I don't think lynching happens there. I'd rather instead of thinking about lynching, wouldn't you rather them have passed something about gun regulation, which killed more black people and other type of people than anything else, right? You got to think about the things that really matters and the policy that really affects.
Like, but it's policies, though.
The policy doesn't mean shit if it really doesn't do the good you're talking about. I'd rather have something with gun, you know, that kills more people than anyone else, including probably most black people.
No, because guns, this is the thing I don't understand. If I lay a gun on a fucking table, is it going to shoot anybody?
No, but the action, go off? Gun is a no, tool. Can you kill somebody without it? It's a tool.
Stop trying to regulate. Don't regulate the gun. Regulate the people. We already have enough stuff in place to do that.
I was saying. Some kind of regulation.
It's already there. They just
It's not everywhere.
They just don't do it.
If it was there and truly working, we would not have the things happen. This guy would not have been able to shoot Trump right now if he had a long-distance AR-15. He wouldn't have been able to do that with the gun, handgun, would he? Would he been able to shoot it from a handgun?
Depends on which one it is, dude. Like,
if he didn't have access to the gun, would that incident have happened?
No.
Most likely, it wouldn't have happened, right? He would have gotten close range. And most likely, he couldn't get through the security and stuff. And the chances, well, I don't know if it wouldn't have happened, but the chances would be what? A lot lower, right? Not 90%, not 50%.
How are you? This is the thing, though. I'm still just like, it's a tool. It's not, it's people that kill people.
If it's
people
a tool, want, then you got, there's look, regulation. The same, you got to have some kind of regulation.
Well, okay, Sanjay, it's the same thing in Europe. UK is outlawed.
No, it's not the same thing in Europe. India and Japan. Those countries don't even have guns.
Outlaw guns, and they still have people killing people.
But it's a lot less. There's less death and crime due to guns.
It doesn't matter.
You're talking about death, and you're saying that.
It does not. People are dying. They're going to die.
But there's less people dying, but there's to different. Die. There's a difference. There's less
they're
people
going
dying.
To die. They're dying.
I get what Sanjay is saying, though. Sanjay is saying, yeah, Chad, you're right. People are dying, but they're not dying from guns.
It's still a tool, guys. If I beat you over the head with a stick, it's still
but
a
you
tool
can't,
that I
you
use
you
to kill
you. You can't beat 150 kids in a classroom locked up with the hammer. You're not going to kill 150 kids. And the police officer wouldn't be scared to go in because you got a hammer.
I hear you.
I'm not saying, you know, Chad, let me say this. Everyone should have guns. I mean, you know, it's not like I want a total ban on guns. I don't want the Second Amendment to be taken away. It's there for a reason. You need protection. You need something, you know, if the government ever goes crazy. You know, that was the whole point of the Second Amendment. So if something happens, you can defend yourself. You have some protection. I'm not saying that, but there needs to be some kind of change. You can't keep on doing the same shit, overlook it, and then say, oh, yeah, this was all right.
And I understand that. But I just feel like there's
But we've been saying this. Every time there's been a shooting, it's like thoughts and prayers, blah, blah, blah. Let it happen over again. It's just
Everybody says the same thing. Everybody says it all the same time. It's thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. But nobody ever gives a shit.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
They'll forget about it the next year.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, but the whole point is, like, at least try to do something and see if it works. If it doesn't work, it's not like you can't repeal the law. I mean, that's the whole point of a goddamn government and country. You can do things and try to make it better, and if it doesn't work, you can also change it. It's not there forever. It's a tool. That's what I'm saying. Just like you were saying, the gun is a tool. The government is a tool to do what you need to do that you think is right, at least to me, that benefits everyone.
Yeah, we'll have to come back to that. But yeah, but just back to the debate itself, man, I was a bit disappointed, guys, just to say, just to kind of wrap up everything that I was trying to say about the debate itself. But it was pretty disappointing to watch both of those candidates kind of bicker a bit back and forth, not really get to the root of kind of the matter at hand. So I don't know. Is there another debate on the books here for both of those candidates, or do they just agree to do one? I thought they agreed to do two.
No, I think there is another one, maybe. There usually is few, but I don't know if they agreed to. I think they committed to doing more, but I don't know if it's official.
Let me look at it. I'm going to Google it right quick to see.
So, Sam, speaking of that, okay. If you had a choice based on this, what would you pick if you had to pick yes or no? Like, you had, you know, it's like a yes or no.
Yes or no what? You just said a choice.
Like between the two candidates, like as of right now. Like, are you supporting which feeble old man or which old white man?
Well, you know, this, since this is public, I hate to kind of talk about my voting publicly. But
it's a public record.
It is. Well, you know, I don't really talk about who I vote for, but
what are you scared of backlash?
No, not really. I just always believe that, hey, man, I got to keep my, you know, who I'm going to vote for to myself. But I'll speak publicly about like politics and policy and what I think should be done. I've never been one to kind of discuss, you know, a candidate that I actually back. You'll never see me endorse a candidate because I'm always like, you know, I'm also kind of person. I'm always vote for the better candidate. And so I'm just not at liberty to talk about who I'm gonna vote for.
So then,
but neither one of them look good.
But then, better candidate, are you gonna? What is your criteria based on policy or?
Yeah, you know, it's based on a few things, Sanjay. It's not just policy, but I also kind of critique the person that's running, right? This kind of their background, the character, right? That matters too. It does. So
okay.
I factor that in.
What about you, Shad?
I look for policies. I think right now my thing is voting on policies. What is going to help society as a whole and what feels good, and that's why I'm voting. Character in a presidential character does matter. But that only matters for like the outside world. The scope of their power, the presidency is limited. More concern needs to be placed on the House of Representatives and your senators. So that's where most of the power lies.
I feel that. For me, it was just making sure that we get the right people in certain offices the right way. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't really have a duck. I had a conversation with a immigrant Uber driver a few weeks ago, and they were like, "Well, what are?" And it made me realize I don't really have too big of a dog in a fight, just because, I have I have prior convictions that allow me not to vote. But
at least we know you can run for office now, though, bro.
I can run for office. And you know what? I think I'm going to.
For real, I'll vote for you.
But
I'll be your campaign manager.
Yeah, I don't know.
You want to win?
I was go, hey, your ass getting shot.
Hey, if you're going to win, though. You're going to win, though.
Sanjay going to be saying stuff that be getting on the public record. Sanjay cusses out Senator from Wisconsin on his Twitter rant.
I guess speaking on that, would y'all rather – all right, now, you know, there's been like a – before this assassination, there was like, you know, calls for Biden to step down and switch. What do y'all think about that, or if y'all got any viewpoints replacing Biden?
Same. So I'll go, let me go first real quick. And what I got to say is that right there, I mean, I feel like if we were going to do that, we should have been getting ready to do that. You can't rush something like that. You know what I'm saying? Do we need to get him into some classes where he can, you know, get the mental training out? You know what I'm saying? And we might need to do that. You know what I'm saying? But it's too late.
So you're saying,
yeah, I agree with you, DC. It's too late. I think if they were going to replace Biden, if that was actually like a plan to do so, we would have known of the candidate last year. That would have been the time to bring out a candidate to replace Biden. And the fact that when was that, guys? Like right after the debate, there was a report or an article that came out that a source close to Biden had confirmed that Biden had just mentioned potentially dropping out of the race. Like that was a little alarming. I'm like, man, it's a little late in the game, man. I don't know if the Democratic Party could recover in time for the election with a new candidate. Potentially, but I wasn't sure. So,
but the way the people, the reason I brought it up, because people say like Biden's too old, and that debate didn't show it. So the whole idea is like, if you replace with somebody younger, it kind of answers that question. And the campaign, the other team is kind of running. Another thing, Biden's too old, too senile. Can he do it for another 4 years? So the whole point is like, what if you get somebody younger that will do it? That's a fresh face, like you were saying.
I get it, but I don't think it's a good idea. I think Biden dropping out of the race this close is probably the worst thing that he could do at this point. Like, yeah, but here's the thing, guys. There's a vice president or a VP on the ballot. Like,
that's what I was going to say. That's the whole point of having a VP, right?
That's the point of having a VP. Like that's that point. But like for him to drop out now, I think would do more harm to the Democratic Party than it would anything. Cause like they don't really have anybody that's gonna run. And if they had somebody that was capable of running, I think they would have already been on the ballot already. I think we would have saw them in the primaries. But when nobody really runs against them, you know. What are you to do? Where are you getting these candidates from? Name me somebody outside of Democratic Party that you're like, oh, like this might be something.
But yeah. Shad, what does that say about the party if they can't even find a suitable replacement?
But hold on,
they do.
Hold on. What does it say about both parties? I'm not just talking about the Democratic Party. What does that say about the Republican Party that they can't find a more suitable candidate than Donald Trump at this moment?
Both parties tried that. We had primaries. Donald Trump, you know, got voted again. What's the name? A lot of senators tried it again. DeSantis, Rick Scott.
Yeah, but DeSantis was running on that same Trump thing. Like that's what they were. Everybody. The only people that were different were Chris Christie, which I like him, and what's the woman? What's the lady's name? She's Indian. This what's her name? Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley, but she changed her Indian name to Nikki Haley, so she'll be more American
white. Yeah. I'm not even gonna lie to you. The first time I saw her, I thought she was a white lady or some shit, or like Latino or something.
She's a North Indian. They got the same thing probably in India, North and South.
So, but I mean, Chad, yeah, Chad, that's a good point. So I don't know. I feel like because the Republicans are more on the defense, and plus that Donald Trump wave, man, that's, I don't know how they could stop that. I don't know how the Republican Party could stop that if they tried, honestly.
Because he speaks to regular ass people that feel like they are not heard. And then you have the Democratic Party who does not, who seems like they just think they're just going to get everybody's vote. They're not really doing anything or trying to put in policies. Even when they have the House or Senate, they really don't do too much. Like it seems like.
No, bro, you preaching that? Go ahead.
It really seems like this tragic thing, right? The Democratic Party, they expect everybody else to come through them. Like, let the Republicans, let Trump play the boogeyman when they're not setting forth anything. They're not doing anything. The least I can say about the Republicans, if they say they're going to do something, they going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Let me give you a little bit of pushback on that. What do you mean they don't do anything policy-wise? I think they've done a lot of stuff.
Dude, their brand.
For instance, maybe not policy-wise, but nominated the most black female justices, got one in the Supreme Court first time.
Bro, that's fine and dandy. Nominating is great, but they're not there.
What do you mean they're not there? They're in the office.
No. When we had a chance to put on the Supreme Court, there was all this hoopla, right? All this hoopla about getting, we had three justices that came up. We got one of them on. One. The Republicans mm-hmm. had three and got all three of them on. They knew
you know
what
why?
They were
because,
doing.
But you know why though? When Obama was nominating, Republicans had the Senate and they held on to what did they say? We will put a nominated justice after the election.
They are right, but you know what the Democratic Party?
But what happened? No. But we got to. What happened was people didn't show up to vote, and Donald Trump won on not majority vote, but because of the Electoral College. He won by like 50,000 votes. So that's the consequence. If you don't show up to vote and do no matter what, even if you don't like the policy, there's going to be consequences when you don't show up to vote.
I know I can't be the only one that feels like that. Like that they are not doing anything.
What about student loan? What about that?
I don't even have that.
Okay, but you don't. But it's not like you're the only guy that doesn't have student loan.
No, I'm not the only person that has. That's great. Like, don't get me wrong. That's great.
All right, then what about during COVID?
It's just been a fight every step of the way.
Yeah, but that's how politics work. But it takes time, and it's not going to be instant. Look how long it took civil rights. Like, everything, you look at American history, it doesn't happen instantly. You got to do it over time. And that's what makes GOP successful. They've been playing this shit since the Heritage Foundation. They've been playing this shit for 30 years. All those judges that nominated for Roe v. Wade, they've been doing it for 20 years. They have a cause, and they stick to it.
You're making our point.
You're making our point.
The Republicans always have a plan.
They always have a plan. The Democrats don't have one.
Them jokers don't.
They don't.
But they do have a plan, but it takes a...
Why has it not been enacted? You got the Heritage Funds that already has their plan out and done. They already had the plan for the justices. We are not doing. What is the Democratic Party doing that they
but
can't
who is
do
in the Democratic
same?
Party? It's just not only white people. It's everyone. So everyone needs to
that's
come
not,
in.
That's
and
not what we're. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying that.
No, but those people, those Heritage Foundation, those people, they're not politicians. They're outside people. They're other people in other organizations. A lot of them aren't politicians. A lot of them are businessmen. A lot of them are just regular people. But they're passionate about it and they do it. Who in the community is doing this? There's definitely a lot, right? But
that's what we're trying to say. Like, there's nobody doing it on the Democratic side. Like,
there's a big tent party. Democrat is a big tent party. That means there's so many views, so many diversity.
They can't get nothing done.
But no, what do you mean nothing done?
There it is. It's too many hands in the pot.
No. No, what do you mean nothing done? So you're saying,
bro, we're too busy playing. We're too busy. Literally, we're too busy arguing with them. Too busy playing, like trying to be friends with everybody. When we just need to get sensible policies done.
But you can't do it without power. You can say all you want to, but you gotta have power of everything. You know, the whole that's the what makes America great. It's the separation of power. There's balance. Not one party can totally dominate.
Sanji, yes, I love you so much.
I do too, Sanji, bro.
I love you so much because you believe so much in the American system, and it gives me hope. And like, I love how you fight for it. And I'm saying this as a black man. Looking from the end, and I like, it's good to see a different view of America.
But that's what I'm saying. You have to, like, okay, what are you going to do? If you can, you know, you're just saying all this, are you going to go out and get more voters up there? Are you going to start a nonprofit organization? What's your plan for it? Do you want to do something?
I don't think any of that
You just want help. It to happen. That's the problem. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think any of that shit helps.
Yes, it does. That is the fucking problem. It's the mindset of the people and a lot of the Democratic people. Well, a lot of just American people. They let shit happen. You, if you want change, you're going to have to put in the work and the effort. It doesn't have to be a big time, but you got to get more people motivated. You got to talk to your family. You got to get things rolling. You just can't let things happen. Just be a bystander and then expect to, you know, why isn't things happening? What are you doing about it? If nobody else is doing nothing about it, what are you doing about it?
I'm just going to say, Sanjay, I don't disagree with you necessarily, bro. All right, like Shats, I appreciate your passion. And I low-key wish you was a politician. I'd vote for you, bro. If you ever ran for president, Sanjay.
I swear to God, you got my vote, bro.
You got it. But I will say the difference between the two parties is that it feels like the Republican Party has more alignment compared to the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party is made up of so many different bots or so many different like types of people that in order for you to do one thing, you got to make sure you do something for everybody else in that same pot. And if you can't come up with something for everybody else, then nothing gets done because the other people are going to be like, well, what about us? What are you doing for us? You're going to do that for them? We didn't see that happen for us. And it just feels like the Republican Party plays to win while the Democratic Party plays not to lose.
Mm-hmm. They're always on the defensive, always on the offensive, never on the offensive. It's hard to shake that feeling. It really is hard to shake that feeling.
I think the GOP and the kind of the social media target feel like they give you that hope for the era.
Dude, this is before social media. It wasn't social media, but that
propaganda or what do you call it, influence been going on through different medias than, you know, ever.
I've literally been feeling like this since I've been able to vote, since I'm like 18, since I knew what was going
high
on.
High school for me.
It's been high school for me. And every time, and I'm like, I'm still voting for these people because I'm hoping that they would, like, get their shit together, form better policies, and because we electing these folks to do these things, and that's what they're there for. But it just seems just like on a collective that the Republican Party, whether good, bad, indifferent, I'm so sorry, that they are on one accord, where we are not saying that the Democratic Party isn't on one accord, but it seems fractured. It feels like they can't get anything accomplished of significance when it needs to be done. When there's always a critical thing that comes up to vote or anything like that, it doesn't get passed or it barely squeaks by. And then no sooner as it gets in, it is changed immediately through the Republican Party. And it just stays like that.
How do you feel about Obamacare?
I think Obamacare was great for what it was supposed to be initially. I think when you take a bill from 40 pages to about 4,000, there's a lot of stuff that comes along with that.
It stood the time, right? Republicans tried to take it out, and it stood
It hadn't stand the test of time, but I do think it's difficult. I know people that have Obamacare. I hate that we call it Obamacare. It's
Affordable Act.
ACA. The ACA is a good thing, but it's also, it can be expensive. For some people I know, it has been a hassle. I remember when one of my friends was out of work and like how expensive Obamacare was. Like, that wasn't the point of it. The point of it was to be cheap and something that you needed till you're able to do it. The tax incentive that went along with the I didn't like that we're taxed for not having health care. I don't like that.
But that's kind of similar. The whole point of the insurance thing is what? Like car insurance. Do you need a car insurance?
No, you don't need it. You don't need it until you actually need it. That's the crazy part.
But in some states, you got to have car insurance.
You do. You got to have it. But it's just one of those things, man. Like everybody isn't able. There's people that you're supposed to have car insurance now and people aren't able to afford it. There's people that are supposed to have insurance and cannot afford that stuff. Like,
but before that, you couldn't even get insurance if you had pre-existing conditions. So I'm saying it wasn't the best thing, but what we had before, it's way better than what it
was. It was. I agree with you on that. I'm not disagreeing.
So that is progress, right? That's some kind of improvement, right?
It's slight progress. It's like you take two steps forward, and we take a step back.
But we didn't go. But we haven't gone backward, at least with the healthcare, right? Right now,
as of right now, ACA still exists, but they've been trying to dismantle that thing.
But I mean, it hasn't happened. Until it happens, you can't say that.
I got you that you're saying that, but they are literally trying to dismantle that thing every year. They are chipping away at it.
And you can't. I mean, it's I don't think
anything. We're voting for people to do that, and they're not doing it. What are we doing wrong?
But listen, let me just point this out. Okay. So we made some progress. We went from not getting insurance to what do you call before? You know, if you had existing condition, you couldn't get insurance. Now you can have some kind of relatively, at least semi affordable insurance. Now the next step is, I don't know if you agree with it. How about making universal health care? How about being free? You know, like every other modern country, where it's not a bill, it's a right.
I see that.
Okay, how you got to think about it.
I don't mind.
You got to start making. I do agree. We do got to start. It does start with, but that also starts with who we put in, and so you got to look at it like this: from 16, you started with Hillary Clinton. That was the wrong, but that was all we had. And I get what Sam is saying. And what Sanjay are saying, like, I mean, I get what Sam and Chad are saying. Like, it all starts about, like, the planning. Who's at the top of the head? What's going on? We didn't take Trump seriously in 2016. He ends up making it. The country, I don't know what to say about the country in them 4 years. You know what I'm saying? But we get hit by COVID. He loses. They riot. I think that.
And nothing seemed like it happens to them. Nothing.
Nothing. And no, nothing. What really gets me is, yes, I totally agree with that.
Nothing. But, you can't sit here and tell me, Sanjay, you don't feel like nothing ever happens to them. Like, they stormed the fucking Capitol.
That was the craziest thing that's ever happened in American history.
In our lifetime, we've had.
I know,
we've had a recession, we've had 9/11, and we've had a coup on our own government, bro. If that had been you, people that look like me and you, Sanjay, we would have been shot on the spot. And you can't tell me you don't feel that way.
I agree with that. And you know what? Okay, so speaking on that, okay. So some, you know, there's been January 6th trials. Some went to jail. But then you know what happened? The Supreme Court.
Supreme Court. Yeah. But see that. But that's the thing I'm talking about. That's planning on the Republican side. We're not doing. You cannot tell me the Democratic Party is doing that. It's putting people in the position to make those changes, to do that stuff. They're not.
We're not able to put those there. I think it's getting okay. I agree with you. Okay, they're not. They don't have that monolithic or like you know. They don't have that mindset, that game plan. But I think they're kind of getting there. So I've heard you know some of the policies. If Democrats get in power, there's going to be Supreme Court reform. There's going to be expansion of the court.
They should have did that years ago.
But you can't. You can't just do it automatically. You gotta gain the power.
I got that.
So that's what I'm saying. So,
you know how long we've been talking about expanding the courts? How long I've been hearing about expanding the courts? That was the thing when Obama was in the office.
But
we should expand the courts.
Let me just say this part, okay? In order to expand the court, either you got to get, you know, break the filibuster, I think, which is like 55 or 60 votes. If you don't have the votes, then you got to, the Senate rule, you got to get rid of the filibuster. That means you only need, you know, 51 straight up votes. So, okay. Maybe the Democrats are in power now and, you know, they'll do it. But as soon as the Republicans get in power, they'll be able to change it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So which one do you want to do? Do you want to do, I mean, I kind of think they should maybe get rid of the filibuster and make the changes anyway. Or do you
No, I think you should get rid of the filibuster. I truly do. That's a waste of time. That's to stall government decisions. That's a waste of taxpayers' money.
So Democrats, if y'all listening, fuck the goddamn filibuster and just start trying to stop playing the same game. You know, fuck the precedents and the old norms. So that's one.
If you really think about it, man.
So I'm gonna drop this nugget on y'all guys. So since 1993, the House of Representatives. So I want to make sure I got this right because I'm over here looking at this and this I found this really interesting. So the House of Representatives. Since 1993, the Democrats have only had control of the House for a total of eight years since 1993. Was the only, like, there's an 8-year span in which the Democrats had the House or had more representatives in the House. And then,
and you know,
and since the Senate in that same time, everyone, the Senate, it's only been 10 years.
And do you know why?
That's been 30 years.
I mean, you probably
years.
Know.
So the Republicans, yeah, so think about it. I'm just thinking about this. The Republicans have had the House over the last nearly 30 years. They've ran the House ran the Senate for 20 of it. And then the House of Representatives, they've ran it for, what is that? For the last, 22 years. So it's been a Republican-controlled House and Senate almost for the past 3 decades.
And so, that's why you can't get a lot of shit done.
Yeah, speaks to Sanjay, just the whole idea that I feel like being shadow hopping on about.
But do you know why, though? That's a good topic you brought on. And you know why that's happened? Even though there's more popular vote for the Democrat, it's through, it kind of comes down to state power, you know? GOP dominates state. You know they put more influence on, and they're able to control. You know the districts are you know drawn by the state legislator, and that allows them to gerrymander or jerry pick the district to where they can get more. You know more of the seats versus the actual
vote.
That
is true, and I think we need a policy to get rid of gerrymandering altogether, like on a federal level. Like to get it out of the state level, like you should not be allowed to jerry rig or change the way the districts are set up. Cause you look at some of these districts and they have like handpicked drawn where like black communities are, all white communities are, Asian communities are, consolidate their vote. It should not be that. It should be an accurate representation of your area. That's
Districts should be. So speaking on that, okay, so there's one thing I could kind of say Democrats have been, it's like, so I'll kind of speak on that. There's like a white lawyer, I forgot his name, something Ellis or something, but he's been going around, you know, suing most of these states, Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas, like pretty much all the more of the southern states, you know, to, you know, kind of break up the the gerrymandering. He took the cases to the Supreme Court, and I think he won like 80 to 90% of the case. So I think Alabama got an extra district. I think Louisiana have to redraw their map, even though they said they're going to defy the Supreme Court.
I think Alabama does too.
Yeah, but same thing. That's what I'm saying.
I think they're all of them are like they're going to defy the Supreme Court's decision to do that, though.
But if they do that, then fuck that. Then if somebody gets voted into the blue state, they should revoke that. Then I think, you know, you start playing the same game. Like, but I think I just kind of wanted to point that out. Like, there are some plans or things going in the Democratic Party that's kind of, you know, trying to attack those underlying problems, trying to create like a foundation or a vision for the future that, you know, that will make the country and make those policies happen over a long term. I think we need to make that more prominent and, you know, push people like that even more in those organizations. And okay, even though it may.
I get what y'all are saying. We've been on this topic for a minute.
You got to talk about it. That's the thing about politics. That's another problem in politics. I think people need to discuss and talk about it more.
No, I agree. I agree.
No, I agree. I agree.
I think that. Hey, you gotta give them the right. You gotta give them props though. That they're not lying, bro. It's really hard to get stuff done, you know, in this country. They do, but you know they're right, man. I really feel like, you know, Democrats really don't have anything planned. We're waiting too late. It's starting to feel like it, I'm gonna tell you what it starts to feel like, and this is like or crazy enough, like a crazy, you know, analogy, like the Sith and the Jedi, how the Sith played the long
game. Yes,
you know what I'm saying. It really feels like that. I know that's a crazy thing.
But the thing is, we know the con. The con is in public. That's what I'm trying to say. If we know what the plan is, even like after the debate, the poll are pretty much tied. You know, there's maybe only like margin of error or a couple of points. This whole narrative, the kind of feeling you're kind of getting, is also part of the propaganda. They want you to feel like you're losing. Nobody's losing right now. The game hasn't even begun. It's the, you know, the first quarter hasn't started yet.
Okay, Sanjay, I like that. I like where you're going with that.
I told you I love Sanjay. I love his passion, dude. I really do.
All right, so since we're right there and we're on this last conversation, all right, here we go. The election, let's talk about 2024 election consequences, the final consequences. This is the last thing we're going to discuss. I mean, you know, what do y'all think the consequences is? What's the worst that could happen if Biden gets in? What's the worst that could happen if Trump gets in?
Hmm. Biden gets in, maybe his age, like something health crisis or something like that, and then that's what I would think. Yeah. Or maybe under delivers on some of the policies and regulation if he doesn't have control in what do you call the state, the House or the Senate. Trump dictatorship, crazy shit, more stacking of the Supreme Court, no pushback, no safety valve.
So my question is, so we vote, all right, let's say, I'm back to your, let's go to the dictatorship. Do you think that's actually a possibility?
Just really look at what the Supreme Court said. Like, if you look at the rulings, they, like, if you think about all, like, Richard Nixon wouldn't be prosecuted, you know, like, he wouldn't have to step down. A lot of, like, you know, Bill Clinton, well, he didn't get impeached, but, like, you know, a lot of the presidents that have done bad things, they wouldn't be checked at all. Even like, you know, the president can only serve two terms. The Supreme Court can kind of interpret the way they are ruling right now. Like, hey, maybe it's two non-consecutive, you know, it has to be two consecutive terms, not non-consecutive. So if he, you know, got elected, then didn't, then he can run two more times again. That shit can happen if they rule like that, even though that's not what the Constitution says. Then for them, the ability to control, other future elections. They could not certify future elections, even if, you know, the other party wins or somebody else wins. That this is how, what do you call, authoritarian things works, and not, you know, in Germany. Hitler didn't take over, you know, day one. They slowly took over the politic party. Then they started, you know, jailing the other opponents. Came up with phony charges. Started doing all kind of things. And then after that, that's when they got total control. You may think it's legit.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It started off as legit, and then they used the power to get what they want.
Damn. Anybody got any last words on this? I want to hear more from Sam. Let's hear some more from Sam. Here we go.
No, man, I don't. To answer your question, DC, I think from Joe Biden's standpoint, I agree with Sanjay. I think the worst thing that can happen with Joe Biden is if he's reelected, that it's going to be another 4 years and there may not be any like significant policies pushed in his last 4 years of his presidency, which I think would be the opposite if Donald Trump is elected as president. I think because right now Senate control and House control is really on the red. So I think that he'll have more. Sanjay mentioned the courts too. So it seems like right now it's a strong favor. Like if he was elected, then more policies would be pushed by that political party. It would get through with, I wouldn't say with no pushback, but I don't think the resistance would be as strong.
There would be no pushback. He would have total control of all three branches. The Supreme Court is kind of the safety valve, and that was like the last hope you most people kind of, you know, had, and that's just out the fucking window.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm going to tell you something. It's not related to either one of these guys, but it's about American politics in general. Like, popular rule is not democracy. It gives the people what they want, but not the thing that they need. And I think that's the game we've been playing in our politics lately, and it's very dangerous. And that's all. Those are my closing remarks.
Wow. All right, I'm gonna for me, I think the fight isn't over. I think what really matters is more closer to the election date, and there's a lot of consequences. I think what we need to do is win, and then the biggest thing going forward is like we need to change the presidential election from electoral college to popular vote, and then have some regulations on the Supreme Court and have term limits on all kind of judges, federal judges, all the way to the Supreme Court. There has to be accountability for everyone. That's the whole point of the government. Checks and balance. That's the whole point. That's why it's so hard. The system is designed.
Yeah. It really does seem like they're running crazy without any checks or any balances.
Dude got paid $5 billion for a billionaire, and he ruled on some trials that have to do with tax and business. And you know, of course, which way they rule.
Yeah, but Sanjay, that's basically asking them to put a gun to their head. I mean, you want them to like regulate their own terms.
Yeah, and they won't.
Yeah.
It's pretty much legal corruption. There's no, like, that's like one thing, like, of, you know, if you think about it, like, logic of it. One thing you can't have is a corrupt justice or a judge. You know, if they're going to be the one kind of being the neutral factor, you can't be a judge if you're corrupted or biased. That just kind of takes away the whole point of the power or the point of being a judge. The essence of it.
I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. Guys, this has been a very intuitive talk that we've had today. We went over, you know, the assassination attempt, which, I mean, to reiterate, hate that it happened. I see all areas of the conversation we had. I see the Shad had the conspiracy. I hope it doesn't ever happen again. I also agree with Sam when he was saying, you know, how should that make anyone feel? You know, I just feel like right now, you know, from four quarters, guys, the country is moving in a crazy direction. We need to, you know, align ourselves more because I mean, we might be, you know, red and blue, but I feel like we still have a lot of the same issues that we don't realize that we still have. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, understand why we're so divided in this country, because I feel like no matter what, there is a lot of the same issues. But we don't look at it as the same because we're so blinded by, right now we're blinded by a fucking, you know, assassination attempt. The same issue is, look at our candidates. And no one's still, you know, no one's talking about that. And that's where we're messing up. I don't know if anybody else has any final words, but
I agree with that. I think, like, when you talk to a lot of people, like, when you talk to a lot of people, if you don't talk about politics, you can relate with most people, right? Like, you can talk to anybody, coworkers and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Once politics gets in, it kind of changes or warps everything.
Everything. Exactly, bro. But we don't realize, like, at the end of the day, we're laughing stock, kind of. You know what I'm saying? And just from that display at that debate, it shows where we're going. You know what I'm saying? So if you're listening, you're in America, start going out, start doing stuff more. You can easily, you know, work in your neighborhoods, start talking to your neighbors more. Then start talking to, you know, your councilman that you're, you know what I'm saying? Start trying to make an impact. Because somewhere out there, you know, somewhere out there is our hope as a country. I don't know when it stopped, when we stopped having hope. But we did stop having hope. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. We got to get out there. We got to get out there and, you know, I mean, everyone wants to say vote. Yeah, we got to vote, but hell. Right now, voting is really the hardest thing to do right now. You know what I'm saying? Voting is like worse, bad and badder. So we got to get out there and, you know, we got to get somebody out there, bro.
I think you got to put in the work, like you were saying. Like, it's not just going to happen.
It's overnight. Yeah, definitely not.
And I think the hope is, like, yeah, I think we should look at it positive. Like, yes, like family feuds and fights. But I think over time, I think we can heal and come together.
Hey, man. Love you guys. This has been a great conversation. I'm going to rush this out. You know, we're going to rush this out and try to get this out as soon as possible. If, hey, please send us an email at fourquarters@gmail.com. And if you have any questions, if you have any topics you want us to talk this. Discuss, or if you have anything you want to say about where you think our country is going, please send us an email. We will answer it, and you know, we want to hear from y'all. I know we have never done that before, but this is a topic that, I mean, it's July, so we got about 4 or 5 months and the country's going to be changing again. So thank y'all for listening. I'm Eric Bradley. We got Sam Ball, Chad Greer, Sanjay Rajput. This has been Four Quarters. And then thank y'all. First down.